are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
So here we are, August 30th, or some later date whenever you're watching this, and we've hit the end of summer, which means the last of our little books with big impact. Throughout the course of this summer, we've explored books from the Old and New Testament that have had an outsized impact on us, despite their brevity. We've read from different genres of literature. We've read from the prophets who talk about God's coming wrath and how we can become redeemed by our goodness and pursuit of justice. We've read letters from Paul to the early church and letters from other people who are writing to early churches to help establish what is good and right in the Christian church. But I think my favorite genre represented in these little books is the narratives, the stories. I love reading those short stories. Jonah and Esther have been two of my favorite books that we've read because they've got such a hook to them. The narrative drives them forward, and even though they're short, they seem even shorter because they're just so much fun to read. And today's book is no exception. The Book of Ruth is this short little book, just four chapters, lodged between two longer books. It comes after Judges and right before Samuel, and it just kind of stands on its own, this little buffer between these two, you know, thick books. So I'll give you the very, very short version of the story. Naomi is an Israelite woman who takes her husband and her two sons to the land of Moab because of a famine in Israel. Now, Moab was a country that was hated by Israel. Naomi's two sons marry two Moabite women named Ruth, who the book is named after, and Orpah, who Oprah may be named after. Well, either way, Naomi's husband and her sons both, all three of them, die. And Naomi says, I'm going back to Israel. Orpah says, well, I'll miss you. I guess I'm going back to my family. And Ruth says, nope, I am coming with you. I don't care if I'm leaving my home, I'm leaving my family, I'm leaving to a country that doesn't like me, I'm going with you, because I don't want you to suffer. So they get to Israel, and homeless and hopeless, Ruth goes to glean some food to survive. She goes to harvest what's left in the fields. Now, a relative of Naomi's, named Boaz, he notices Ruth gleaning in the field, and he recognizes and remembers the stories of the ways in which Ruth was overwhelmingly kind and loyal to Naomi. Ruth informs Boaz later that because he's related to Naomi, he's what's known as a redeemer kinsman and can marry her to redeem Naomi's family. Now, Boaz wants to do this, but there's actually a closer family member that has first dibs on marrying Ruth. Now, remember, this was a very different time. And sometimes when you take a biblical view of marriage, that can mean some weird things. So, you know, context is important here. So Boaz tricks this close relative into turning down the marriage. Like I said, kind of weird. And Ruth and Boaz then get married. They have a kid named Obed, who is the grandfather of King David. The end. So that's just a very bare bones version of the story, but the whole story is really worth reading. It's short, it's concise, and it's wonderful, and it makes for a really engaging read. And what stands out in this book is the tremendous lengths that people, especially Ruth, go to in order to show love to others. There's no better example of Ruth's tremendous love and devotion than in chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. This is what she says to Naomi. Naomi says, head back to your home and I'm going to Israel. And Ruth responds, do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and even more if even death parts me from you. Now, note that Ruth is saying this to her mother-in-law, to whom she has no obligation, and in fact, who's telling Ruth specifically she should leave and go back to her family. Ruth's devotion is a level of loving kindness that exceeds anything that would ever be expected of her. Naomi is now an elderly widow with no sons and no hope for any future sons. She's on the low rung of the ladder here. And Ruth volunteers as both a widow, but now by volunteering to go with Naomi, a despised foreigner, to go support her mother-in-law, because she saw the vulnerability and danger that Naomi was heading back to. Ruth willingly gave radically of herself to care for the vulnerable. And this loving kindness, it ripples outward, with Boaz seeing the kindness that Ruth showed and then demonstrating similar radical kindness to Ruth after he'd heard of what she did. Ruth showed a sacrificial love for oppressed people, for Naomi in her state, that we can only hope to attain. Ruth's example is, yes, it is extreme. She literally gave up everything to support Naomi. But it's a good place for us to examine how we can support our neighbors. Because friends, our neighbors need our help. Because Jacob Blake is our neighbor, and he needs our help. Because George Floyd needed our help. Breonna Taylor needed our help. Freddie Gray needed our help. Because we need to give what we can and support those whom we love who are in danger, like Ruth did. Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. Friends, our siblings are in pain. People made in the image of God, whom we are called to love and care for as we would care for ourselves. We need to let Ruth's words to Naomi be our North Star as we pursue justice. Where you go, I will go. Your people, my people. Where you die, I will die. The first step to all of this is to mirror Ruth in showing our devotion, to genuinely tie our own hearts to the hearts of our siblings who are suffering and dying. And this requires a shift in our orientation that transforms the idea of them into a total idea of us. It's a shift in orientation that is not content with sympathy or pity, but empathy and compassion. It means we need to feel actual pain, not just feel bad. And this devotion should result in a tangible change in ourselves, not necessarily a comfortable change. It'll be a change that will cause pain and discomfort, but it should result in changing the way we act to make this world a better place. After we declare ourselves fully loyal to the oppressed among us, our behavior and actions should change. We'll start to make phone calls to our elected leaders, telling them that inaction on racial justice is unacceptable. We start to more publicly and vocally affirm that Black lives matter. We intervene when we hear racist thoughts and ideas. We attend protests. We give our money to organizations that support causes that advance anti-racist ideas and policies. Organizations like Moses, or Just Dane, or the Boys and Girls Club, or Nehemiah, among many organizations that do important work here in Madison. It means we spend our time focused on doing things that make the world a better and safer place. In the story of Ruth, there's very little attention actually paid to what God is doing in the story. The story is about people doing good to one another and the world becoming a better place as a result. And it's through that that we see the beautiful evidence of God's activity, drawing folks together to do good. God's activity is seen through the very human activity of devoting ourselves to each other. And so for us, the question then becomes, how can our neighbors see God's activity through our works? Our prayer needs to be, where our siblings die, may we also die. May we die in ourselves to apathy and disinterest, and may we rise to a life of passion, compassion, and peace. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, grant us a heart like Ruth's, a heart in which we fully and totally devote ourselves to your people. May our lives, may our beings, may our very existence be tied into the reality of human suffering. May we hurt when our siblings hurt. May we rejoice when our siblings rejoice. Your children are hurting. We are hurting. Turn us towards each other and give us the strength to face justice and to pursue your peaceable kingdom. Amen.